Special guest,
Kern Howe.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour, Season 4, season premiere episode. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Feeling good. Excited to be in Season 4. Feeling great to be back on pod.
We made it. We made it. It's the end of a long, at times stressful journey when we were wondering whether it would make it past our self-designed Twin Peaks seasonality methodology, which did not go past a season 3. And now here we are.
Exactly. We used to copy Twin Peaks seasons to define our season length. And now they're going to have to tune in to see what we're doing to figure out how long the fourth season of Twin Peaks will be.
That's right. Yeah, it'll draw in a whole new crowd, perhaps.
We just had a great conversation with Kern Haug from the band Agriculture.
Yes, incredible. I think our first special guest that's called in while driving, which was amazing. It reminded me of like I feel like there's a comedy show where like they like drove around like actual like comedians and went and got coffee.
Like, yeah, something like that. We're not allowed to say the names of a show like that, but that sounds like a real show.
It sounds like a show, and it was sort of that. That's where I was anyway. Well, having a great conversation with Kern that spanned running and music and many other great topics.
Yeah, we got to talk LA, and while we talked LA, we even got to see some LA.
Got to see it. Yeah, that was just special.
Just palm trees and maybe a couple of hills in the background.
Yeah, but all in all, a good drive for Kern. Sort of reference to place in LA that's a little bit more free of the typical stereotypical even traffic. Sounded like he had a pretty smooth drive from the band room back to his girlfriend's house.
Yeah, and usually, you know, I think of this podcast as something good to listen to perhaps while going on a run. This episode might be a good one to listen to going on a drive
in LA or otherwise.
Yeah, anywhere. I think it would work anywhere. Any rest day will do. Rest days are important, even if I neglect them as much as possible. But yeah, but anyway, enough talking about the talk. Let's get to our talk with Kern Haug from the band Agriculture, driving around Los Angeles.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Gonna get on the LA freeway. You're in LA? Is that what I'm gathering?
No, I'm in New York City, and Trevor is outside of Boston.
Oh, okay. I just thought there was some discussion of LA in one of the podcasts, so I thought.
For some reason, we just happen to have like a high concentration of LA-based musicians as special guests on the show.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, LA comes up a lot. I think most of the musicians we talk to, right, are either from LA or Austin.
Yeah, I think pretty much exclusively.
Yeah, I know there are a lot there.
For no reason, really, but that's just how it's played out.
Two of my favorite towns. Kern, where are you now in LA? Where are you driving?
I am in Glassell Park. The Agriculture rehearsal space is in Glassell Park on San Fernando Road.
Oh, hells yeah.
Yeah, and it's right by the 2 freeway. I'm driving to my girlfriend's place in Dahunga Canyon.
Oh, that rules. When I'm in LA, actually, I usually stay in Glassell Park.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I really like it here. I'd love to. The dream would be to live within like walking or biking distance of the rehearsal space. Go anytime without having to think about parking and where I'm going to park when I get back to my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your place?
I live in Los Feliz.
Oh, cool.
Like, pretty nearby. It's like a nice, it's like very central. I could go like a couple days without using my car. Kind of like walk around.
I like this episode. It's kind of turning out like that show John Mulaney did, Everybody's in LA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw a couple of those episodes. They were good.
Yeah, I liked it. We got that vibe going.
So, Kern, you said you also do a bit of running. Where do you run around there?
So, like, I live right near Griffith Park in Los Angeles. And so I just go straight out my front door and run into the park and run back.
That's
and
cool.
I pretty much only run there. I just kind of have like a few routes I do. It's not the ideal. It's like basically all uphill for the first like third or so.
Yeah.
And there's like maybe a mile or so that's flat, and then it's back to down and then it's downhill.
That's cool.
I mean, I've just gotten used to it.
Oh, that's kind of perfect. I'm always trying to work more hills into my runs. Living in Manhattan and I live by the river, it's flat, you know, so I got to find places to go that are hilly.
Yeah. It's just become a default, I guess. But I mean, I really like it. I love, like, it's a pretty park. And it's huge. I think it's like 17th largest city park in the country or something.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Dave, is that where Brendan Etter said he was doing a lot of running? Do you know?
No, he lives by Echo Park.
Echo Park, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the lake, a much smaller loop.
Yeah.
Available.
We ran by that when I ran the Los Angeles Marathon in March.
Wow, I've never done a marathon.
What's the longest you've done?
Probably not, like maybe 13 miles.
Yeah.
But nice. I did cross country in high school, and we would just for training, we would run like 11 to 13 miles sometimes.
That's cool. And yeah, that's a solid,
pretty much it.
That's a half marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember just feeling kind of meandery and kind of rubbery by the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the type of running I do is to just go like really slow for a lot of like a long time and can actually get up like some nice miles that way. And it's not all running, but yeah. So we talk about that a bit.
Karen, you ran cross country in high school. Did you play drums in high school too?
Yeah. I guess like kind of around the same time, actually.
Okay.
Like freshman year, like going into high school. Yeah, between middle school and high school, I was like given a set of drums. They were just like some leftover drums. My mom runs the senior center, like works with the city, and they have a jazz band. And the drummer was like, oh, I can't get these sound good. Someone should take them. And my mom was like, oh, Kern, you're always tapping on things. Do you want to play drums? And I was like, okay. Like, she's like, I got this free drum set. And so I just kind of like, as soon as I got it, friends I had just made were like, oh, you have drums? Like, we're starting a band. We need a drummer. And
yeah.
I was like, I don't know how to play them. And they're like, we don't really know how to play guitar either. Like, perfect. And I just figured it out together.
That rules. What kind of drums were
they?
Love
that.
It's my old Ludwig. I still play the same drum, actually.
Really?
It's like a kind of old, like, it was sort of a greenish. Now it's kind of faded into like a pearly, pale green. I never had a floor tom, so my floor tom's from a different kit.
Okay.
But it was like the rack tom is like the old original. I guess it's really just the kick and the rack tom. The
okay.
rest I've gotten new stuff.
But so are you playing like double bass?
No, I've never played double bass.
Oh, cool. That's the coolest thing a drummer can say. I've never played double bass. Even I played a lot of drums growing up, and I even briefly flirted with it despite never playing in like a metal band.
Yeah, I never played in a metal band before this. So it never really came up. And kind of my kids is like from an old jazz drummer. Those are like really my drumming heroes. They're all like just old jazz drummers.
Oh, that rules.
And it's like a 20-inch kick drum. It's not big. It's kind of mid-rangey.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I've kind of figured out how to make it cut through and sound nice, and I just kind of keep a pretty standard, like what would be like a bebop setup.
So who are your favorite drummers, like Elvin Jones and guys like that? Or?
Well, weirdly, I never was like as deep on Elvin Jones, but like Tony Williams. Miles Davis quintet.
Close,
like, always, like, blew my mind. Just the energy, like the way he kind of just follows the melodies and like accents and emphases, like very melodic, like flow through.
Yeah.
The songs, like playing is like kind of blisteringly fast, big rhythm pattern.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's like definitely, there's like a great, I mean, Rashid Ali was like more in the freeform size with Coltrane later.
Cool.
Definitely lots of, lots of like free improv stuff.
Do you listen to a lot of that stuff, or what do you like to listen to?
Yeah, I'm like pretty deep in like jazz and free jazz. And
yeah.
Like, I used to do like a harsh noise duo like a decade ago, and that's kind of when I learned to play like loud and fast. Okay, that's actually not true. I guess I was kind of a band that was sort of a metal band, like back in 2012. Like heavy. It just wasn't that metal.
Yeah, you broke up just a slightest amount there, but I think it's part of the charm of this episode. Because if we haven't mentioned, you are in fact driving. So that's cool. Oh, and Dave, before we forget,
we always like to ask our special guests to introduce themselves, and we do always almost forget, and then we say this 10 minutes into our talk. So if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, and just say your name and anything else about yourself you'd like to say, but you can also say just your name if that's what you'd prefer.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm Kern Haug. I live in Los Angeles. I play drums in the band Agriculture. Amongst other things.
Hells yeah. That's a good introduction.
I like that. Amongst other things is a great thing to toss into I don't know, a lot of sentences, I think, but especially a good introduction. Yeah. That's great. So I have a question for you. I mean, we've talked a bit about running. playing drums the way you do on an Agriculture song, to me, seems like sort of like the drumming equivalent of like running really fast.
Yeah, it is super tiring. And I'm kind of like, usually sweating like halfway into the first song, like pretty profusely. There's a lot of endurance involved.
And like, aside from, I mean, you're just thrashing on the drums, like at a very steady beat through, like, I don't know, like, so, for example, like the song, our song of the week, this week, Reliar, I feel like so much of your drumming, and I'm not a drummer, I'm like a novice bassist and sort of like mediocre guitar player. But your drumming, like, I feel like a lot of it's about like timing almost, because like otherwise you're just like kind of just thrashing, and then like all of a sudden it just stops suddenly, and then it's like back. I don't know. Is that how do you respond to sort of that?
Yeah. I think I heard everything. Talk for a second, but about the timing. Versus kind of just like a thrashing that's like not as timed, and it is like, yeah, blast beat is what I like. Reliar specifically, that was the first song we wrote in the band, and it's pretty much 100% blast beats. I mean, the beginning of the song is more freeform, like everyone's playing these chords, and I am like, you know, kind of swirling about the kit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we like land all together like in a blast beat, and it's really, I was thinking it's kind of a like flapping wings, like a bee or a hummingbird. You're just kind of keeping a floating like momentum.
Yeah.
Keeping things like in the air, I guess.
That's an awesome description. That's super
part
cool.
Part of it is like what that song, I really think about Tony Williams the most, because it is such a consistent, groove, or I don't know if the blast beat the groove exactly, but kind of just I'm listening to the melody and really trying to like do a lot of crashes on the ride, but just like emphases or accents on like melodic changes through the part.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about in Reliar?
Yeah, in Reliar specifically. Kind of like the same blast beat, but I'm just following the melody as far as like where to, you know, accent things.
That's super cool. Yeah. No, actually, you can kind of like feel that. I don't know that I would have I also need to listen to it more out of like better speakers and in better scenarios than headphones, which are always like a little bit limiting, but yeah, it sort of like floats with you. It sort of like ebbs and flows. It's super cool. And Dave, did you run to it?
I ran to it yesterday. Yeah. And actually we picked it as our song of the week, 'cause we reached out to a colleague of ours, Dr. Gabriel Cooper at Thunderdome Metal Reviews. We wanted like a little bit more of a professional expertise to weigh in, because our metal listening, you and I, Trevor, is much more casual. Picked that one because we thought he said it was his favorite song, but I actually think we misread him. And I don't think it was his favorite song. I think his favorite song on the record was Look Part 2. But anyway, yeah, so I ran to it, and I was on the treadmill. I was doing a 10-mile run while watching the Mets. Which was awesome, actually. But I hadn't looked down at my phone. You know, I started up the record like 15 minutes into my run. But when Reliar kicked in, I was like, what song is this? Like, this rules. And I looked and I was like, oh, it's the song of the week. So I would say it was my favorite, actually, on the record, even if we picked it because of misreading an email.
Oh, nice. I like it partially because of that, just like kind of constancy of it.
Yeah, yeah. I love Look Part 3, which I feel like is a great length and like well sectioned for like a good hard run, like a good like mile run to just go hard to that song. Because I feel like if you, especially because I don't like to like, you know, look at a watch or whatever, you could kind of like pace yourself by the sections almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. I've actually never really run to music. And it would be interesting to run to that music. Like I haven't like thought about that. I don't know what it would be like.
It ran really well. It's not the kind of music I usually run to. And I like when I'm running outside, I don't run to anything. I just, you know, I run to the birds and the sounds of the cars and stuff, you know? Yeah. And then if I'm in the gym though, on a treadmill, I'll run to music or a podcast. But I was a little worried when I put it on, 'cause I never run to music like that. And I thought maybe it's too like, too intense, too high, you know, too high energy for a 10-mile run. But no, it was great. And then afterwards, actually, it's funny, I had a podcast queued up I was going to listen to, and I couldn't do it. I needed like something else, high energy, to follow that up. So, it didn't wear me out either. I didn't like overdose after 30 minutes of that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's got like different. You know, you can follow different time frames within the songs too, if you want. Like you can, because I think a lot about you just like time when I'm running with music. Like some of it sort of stretches it out, and I feel like a lot of those songs you can kind of like ride, like, you know, as long as you want almost. You can do them in like really super short intervals. Like your drumming is usually super fast, or you could just sort of like follow like the broader arc. Of some of them, that's like super cool. The first one I heard was In the House of Angel Flesh. Yeah, it was actually my son, young apprentice, 9 years old, who's into metal in the house, and that one was like recommended to us, and then that got us into agriculture. So he's actually a big fan too.
Oh, that's cool. And also, there's an interesting spread because Reliar was the first song we wrote, and In the House of Angel Flesh is like the most recently, like, of released material, most like recent song, like newest one.
I love that one. I feel like it's got so many like cool like sections and changes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I like that too. That's kind of been especially fun. That one playing live it's kind of like extra fast and steady. I don't know, like I feel like I have to be the most precise when I play that song live. Like I'm always like kind of barely holding on.
Oh, that's
hoping
cool.
I don't drop anything.
You guys refer to the genre as a static black metal?
Yeah, I mean, we just like
did you guys Dan make that up or is that
yeah mm-hmm. yeah okay. Yeah, Dan just kind of made that up. He made it up, but it was interesting. We like quite a while later, the singer of Liturgy tweeted something, or like Leah saw her friend tweet, I don't know, something about saying that, oh, Leah was talking to the singer of Liturgy, I think, on Twitter, maybe. And she was like, oh, yeah, I was actually considering ecstatic black metal before I coined the term transcendental black metal. So, which, you know, kind of makes sense. There's like a connection musically there.
Yeah.
Similar concept.
I like that. No, I was wondering because I was reading the message we got from Dr. Gabriel Cooper, and he had never heard the term ecstatic black metal. And then after, I was like, well, that's probably because they probably made it up.
Yeah, it's like a genre of one band.
It's the it's the first band in the genre.
Yeah,
there'll be more.
Super cool.
Yeah, it's interesting having that, like, people seem to, like, excite people and upset people.
Perfect. He said it reminds him of things that he would call post-black or black gaze. Does that feel right?
Yeah. That's accurate to my knowledge of metal.
Okay.
I'm the least metal knowledgeable in the band. Whereas we have a range of like me who has like very little metal background, kind of more of like a harsh noise background, and then our lead guitarist Richard like has a PhD in metal, basically.
Really? Like, that's cool.
He's like his he's like it's in composition and other stuff, but like a big part of his dissertation is on Sun, like analyzing metal music. And
that's cool.
Metal is a big part of his stuff.
There's like a mathy sort of undertone too, or maybe overtone at times. There's like a math element too, isn't there?
It's more like there's like no counting that really goes on, or like very little counting, but Dan, like, all of the first album was pretty much like songs Dan wrote, and you know, we kind of shaped from there. And he just has a weird sense of rhythm. Like Relier was hard to learn because there was no count. He's like, I don't really know. I don't really have a count, but this is how it feels natural to me. And it just kind of became what felt natural to all of us.
We say around here, do what feels right. Often in running, just do what feels right in music too.
Yeah. No, I like really feel that like with a lot of things, like, especially when it comes to like health and wellness, you know, there's so many like studies say this and they're always being updated and often contradicting themselves. And it's kind of like, well, you really just kind of like, how does it feel when you eat this or when you do this stretch? Like, that's like a better judge than sort of like the average of, one of many studies on a topic.
Like a joke my father always used to tell, which was something, it goes something like, a guy went to a doctor and he said, doctor, it hurts when I raise my arm up like this. And the doctor says, well, don't raise your arm like that.
Yeah.
It's a dad joke, like, but it's wisdom too.
And that's my dad is a physical therapist, and he pretty much is like, he's like, that's what I told my patients.
Like, so the joke
hurts
out.
Like, that hurts. Like, don't do it.
Don't do that.
I feel like we tested that pretty hard with our last special guest, who's a PT as well, Hillary McCloy, and she kind of pushed back a little bit and said, and this is funny though, because she said sometimes you have to like not listen to your body and like push through certain pain, and like, you know, you have to basically get over like the mental aspect of like, is it an injury, or is it just like my body like kind of like pissed off and I'm just going to override it and get through it? Which was kind of interesting too.
That's interesting. Cause like with like muscular stuff, or I don't know if that's the right way to think, it's like certain things it feels bad to push through, or it's like, I've always had sinus issues my whole life, and going on runs often helps them. Like, I was really, my allergies were kind of bad like a few days ago, and I was really congested. And then I just like exercised and got my like blood pumping and breathing and stuff, and my allergies got way better.
Yeah.
Within like 30 minutes or so of like kind of pushing through a discomfort.
I think running helped my back. I think probably like from strengthening my core or something, but like, you know, I felt like it did.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, like, I don't know, early high school, I used to think like the Chinese buffet was like the ultimate life hack. You could like literally just eat as much as you want. But like later in life, I think it might actually just be running.
That's the ultimate life hack.
Yeah. Like running. Oh, all of a sudden I just like feel better.
Yeah.
You know, mentally, physically, everything.
Yeah. True. Wait, Kern. So did you play in the high school jazz band at all or no?
Showed up for a few sessions.
Yeah.
The jazz band, it was like zero periods. You had to get there like 5:30 a.m. or something.
Whoa.
And I just didn't like it. I had played clarinet in middle school for a few years, but then drumming, I never took lessons. So I just was kind of feeling it out. So I showed up to the jazz band and I was one of like four drummers.
Yeah.
And I felt like they didn't need me. I just played in my garage band with my friends.
That's cool. Yeah. I did mine, but ours was after school, so it was, you know,
it was much, much better time to be playing jazz.
That's jazz time. 3:15 is jazz time. I don't think I could have. I had a class once like that started at 7:15, and that was fine to like sit in the back row and like doze off. But I don't think I could have, you know, I couldn't have tried to play some Count Basie songs like that early.
Yeah, yeah, it was not a fun time to be awake, especially as a teacher.
Update on the drive. Where are you now?
Oh, I've parked.
Oh,
yeah, parked. Yeah. So you're getting ready to go see your girlfriend. So we'll let you go shortly. But I think it might be interesting to make some connections across LA-based musician special guests, because you know, you mentioned you met Will Sheff recently at a party, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's
a couple
cool.
of my friends have toured with him.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we had just met them, but my friends like were like, "Oh yeah, Guy Will, great guy. We tour with him."
Did they play in his band or like a band that toured with his band?
In his band.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, they were like the hired musicians.
Nice. Yeah, we just had him on last month, and then we actually saw him like a couple weeks after we talked to him.
That's cool. Good guy.
Oh yeah. Good guy. Super cool. Not a big runner, but.
No, not a big runner, but walks his dog a lot around LA. Another interesting LA musician who doesn't exactly run is Tim Hill, and he said he likes to just go explore these like abandoned, like unruly spaces, like go on these hikes, and it's like not public land, but it's like private land that's kind of been like sort of abandoned, and he just like kind of like cruises around there with his dog a lot, which again we'll consider that running.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. I really love like exploring while running.
Yeah, I love that.
It's south. It's a little. I think it's a little bit outside the city, but yeah.
Kern, I feel like you just did like the least trafficy LA drive I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that's like the thing with Tonga Canyon. It's north in the valley, and a lot of people don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is.
It's I can't say it's like my favorite place, to be honest.
What's it near?
Sunland. People seem to know that a little better, or like La Cañada, up the 2 to the 210.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Yes. We need to get some of that in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we might be on a quest to eventually talk about every neighborhood of LA. I feel like we're checking them off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the marathon didn't run through any of those places you just named.
Yeah, no, it's quite a bit north, and I shouldn't say, I don't know. I'm trying, my girlfriend's trying to get me to come around to it.
Yeah. To move up there.
She really likes it up here. But it's like kind of like almost 10 degrees hotter when it's hot, which is tough for me. There's nothing you can really like walk to very easily. So there is like a kind of, there's like a fun sushi spot down the hill that we might go to. Right.
You can't really walk anywhere in Glassell Park, can you? I mean,
I guess it depends where you are. There's like areas that you could, depending on where you were. Like my friend used to work at a brewery that like closed down recently, but it existed for 15 years. And there were locals that,
oh, cool,
I think largely walked there.
Yeah,
and it was like kind of the same regular there every time I went.
When I stay with my buddy Ricky, he lives at the top of one of those big hills. I'd always walk down to the bottom to like, I don't know, like a little place that's like, I guess it's like a food place, kind of a bodega-y food place, but I'd always just buy a chocolate covered banana and then walk back up the hill. And then I was stoked when John Mulaney had his TV show that that place was in the opening credits to Mulaney's show.
Oh, that was, wow. Yeah.
It's like the randomest place, you know?
Yeah, but he did a good job of, with that show, like really like getting in to LA, figuring some things out.
I loved it. I'm kind of a lover of LA from afar, so I definitely love that show. It felt like being in LA. It had the vibe to me.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I don't get a lot of love for LA outside of LA.
Should tell your friends about our podcast. We love LA a lot.
We talk it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in LA?
No, I was born in LA, but I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, like, okay.
Pretty much my whole life. Like, my parents are from Orange County.
Okay.
They've been there forever.
Yeah. My first time in California, I spent a week in Irvine.
Okay. Yeah, cool. We're like south of there. That's like my grandma lived right by Irvine and hosted foreign exchange students like her later years to supplement the rent.
Were you there, Dave? Were you there with listener Dan?
Yeah, a frequent contributor to our show's mailbag. We have a pretty heavy mailbag that gets written into every week. I was visiting listener Dan at his parents' place the summer that we were 19 in Irvine.
Wow, listener Dan.
Yeah. It was good. We had a fun. We didn't do any running. I did bring my skateboard though, so we skated and we went to like Huntington Beach and Newport Beach. And then we went up into LA a couple times too. We went to Hermosa. That was cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's like Huntington Beach is a pretty like skate area. Or at least that was my impression. I was in Laguna Niguel, which was kind of just like, I don't know, inland of Laguna Beach, which is like people know.
Yeah, we went to Laguna Beach, yeah. And Dana Point.
Yeah, Dana Point was where my high school was. And there was like a surf team on the high school.
That's cool. It's a cool high school.
We had a great cross country team, actually. We were like number one in state like multiple years.
Oh, wow. So you were like not serious. Serious.
I was not in the top five, though. So I like rarely ever scored. It's only the top five runners like are scored.
Yeah. Do you remember like what your times were for like five? What was it? 5 mile? Was that?
The 5 mile. By the end, I was like under 17 minutes. I think I got like. It was like 16:44 was like my PR, but I think more often I was in the 17-minute range. We had a really good team. We're like our top runners were like under 15 minutes for like the.
Wait, what's that? 5K?
Oh, no, 3. Five, sorry, five 3 K. mile.
5 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
3 mile. 3 mile. Yeah, I was gonna say. Wow. No, yeah. No. Yeah.
No, we weren't. That makes more sense.
You don't hold the world record in the 5 mile.
No. Just 3 mile. It goes by pretty fast.
That's still super fast. That's still like blazing fast in our book.
It was a good team. Yeah, I was like, man, I'd be like one of the best runners on most other teams. I liked it. I didn't really. I wasn't.
You're like the best runner in agriculture.
Yeah, although Dan has started running now, and. We're trying to figure out how to run while on tour.
Oh.
I haven't figured it out yet.
You got to listen to our episode with Denton, Texas-based keyboard player Jesse Chandler.
Oh, okay.
He runs on his tours all the time. That's like his thing. Bobby Daniels does it too.
That's right. Actually, yeah. Austin, Texas-based bass player. Bobby Daniel runs on... they both had good run seeing on tour stories.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to do that. We were just in Europe, and the biggest issue was like just bringing many shoes.
I have
shoes I drum in, and then I have shoes that are for walking, and then I would need to bring another pair of shoes.
What shoes do you drum in?
They're just these like leather Doc Martens that I've had since like 2017, but they're like kind of a thinner sole and a little more pointed in the toes than classic Docs. And so I've just gotten used to how they feel, and the pointed toe makes it like it sits into the kick pedal really well.
Yeah.
But I've had the soles repaired multiple times, and So now they're okay to walk around in, but for a while the heel was so worn out that walking for 10 minutes messed up my knees.
Yeah. I've been drumming in running shoes, actually. it just kind of happened because I was wearing them so much, you know?
That would be cool. They're just like too, I like these shoes. I'm so used to like a fairly thin sole. They're not hard sole, but it's like,
yeah,
yeah.
You know, there's no cushion. Like the cushion like would really throw me off.
No, I can picture like, it.
Sort of stiff too, right?
I was reading about the Jam,
yeah.
And what's his name? The drummer from the Jam would always drum in Lonsdale boxing shoes. And that sounds like perfect.
That sounds cool.
I don't even know what a boxing shoe is, really. Like, I'm picturing a ballet slipper for some reason.
Yeah, probably. Well, I wrestled a little bit in high school, and what I was picturing was like a wrestling shoe, which is like a ballet slipper. It is like very similar. It's like a high top ballet slipper. So I was assuming a boxing shoe is similar to a wrestling shoe, in which case, yes. And maybe ballet shoes would be a good choice as well. Yeah. All right, should we wrap things up and get to any final things we need to discuss and let Kern leave the car?
Yeah, Kern's girlfriend who's wondering why he's just parked outside the house. Any parting words what would you like to close with, Kern?
Parting words or thoughts or anything you want to promote? You know, it could be a tour or whatever, or anything about the band.
Oh yeah, totally.
Well, one thing about drumming and running was there was a while where I like didn't run for like a couple months for some reason. And then when I went back to agriculture practice, play the same songs we've been playing, it was a lot harder to jump back into doing things because I was like, oh, my base level of fitness is just lower. Like I'm not like running's really like, I think helped to just my kind of like endurance, general capacity within the band. That's just another plus for running. Yeah, I'm going to listen. I'm going to plug your old episode and say, I got to check that out.
and everyone else should too, maybe. Yeah.
Touche.
Well, that sounds awesome, Kurt. That's I like the perfect insight combining drumming and running. And thanks for plugging one of our episodes instead of your own stuff. And thanks so much for coming on.
Cool. Yeah, this is fun. Yeah, thanks for reaching out.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Oh, well, thanks so much, Kern. That was awesome. Thanks for coming on. That was a great conversation. Great talk.
Yes. Thank you, Kern. That was incredible. Hope the sushi place is good. And thanks so much for talking to us.
I like that conversation because often we have guests and there's a number of topics we could talk about and we don't know how much we're going to spend on each one. And so, in this talk, we kind of just bounced back and forth, right? Constantly between like running, drumming, you know, music, jazz, LA.
Yeah.
We just kind of, it was very seamless, I thought, it was like it was one topic.
It was a natural flow. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it was well balanced overall, you know, a little something for everyone in there.
I had a good time. That was really fun. It made me want to go to LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes me want to see an agriculture show too.
Yeah.
Those guys bring some energy and just like, yeah, there is an exuberance that comes out of it. That's just lends itself to running to it and otherwise just enjoying, right? It's it's cool stuff.
Yeah. I'd love to go to see one. I got to check out the tour dates, I guess. See the next time they're making it out to New York. Kern didn't want to promote that, but you know, maybe we'll share that on our Instagram once they have some dates and they're hitting the road again, and certainly recommend everyone going to see them and recommend running to them, because at least that self-titled album, that album runs
In the House of Angel Flesh, I think that's just an EP, but that runs. They got a nice little catalog they're building, and yeah, I'm sure at this point we'll have probably spliced a little bit of agriculture into the episode. So that's going to be exciting to listen to.
Definitely. Everybody's heard a little bit, and I'll try not to splice it in too loud, as I think I often do with music. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little jazz drumming in there too. Super interesting that's his, biggest influence, right?
Yeah. And I do love a metal drummer that doesn't play double bass.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Well, awesome. Well, let's see, Trevor, is there any mailbag or any business of the week or any week in running or anything we should discuss?
I love the mailbag we got from listener Gabe, and drove a lot of the interview. We sort of were able to weave in some. I guess we should mention listener Gabe also sort of found some similarities in agriculture self-titled to the Who's Quadrophenia, which I thought was quite interesting.
Well, that's true. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've got two quick updates. So special guest Brendan Etter, I think, as previously mentioned in this episode, LA-based musician, runs an Echo Park, set a 5K PR recently.
Awesome. What did he do?
I don't know. By the time I went to put the notes down or double check them, the story was gone at that point.
I like to think maybe he didn't even time it. It felt like a PR.
Yeah.
He's like, that's definitely the fastest I've run.
A perceived PR by Brendan Etter.
Counts just as much.
Of the Brendan Etter ensemble. And second, I did have a running encounter over the past week. So I've been on the injured reserve. I think I should be ready to run again. So it's due to a minor procedure, but I will be able to run again in the coming days, I believe. It's sort of a little bit, the doctor basically said, like, do what feels right was pretty much the advice.
And by the doctor, you mean Kern.
And Kern also supported that. Anyway, so not being able to run, I did happen to be in Mexico City for work and saw some runners that had just finished a race with a medal. I gave the universal thumbs up and got a few smiles from several of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
The runners representing Bogota.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I
don't think it was like an official race. These were like, I don't know. I'm guessing it was something like a half marathon would be, but by the vibe, I would say half marathon.
Oh, cool.
Fact checkers can look this up because it was, Mexico City running event around the Reforma district on, it would have been Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, Sunday the 29th. So,
Domingo. Is Domingo Sunday in Spanish?
Sábado. Domingo. And then Domingo. So yeah, we'll figure out what that race was. But I saw several runners, and I saw several of them posing by a gold statue with angel wings. And actually, I had a thought. I thought I should go try to talk to some of these runners and see if any of them would be willing to be interviewed for the Power Motion Picnic Hour. And then I realized they were sort of, having their moment, and they're probably like, there potentially would have been a pretty big language barrier on account of me not speaking Spanish. And so I didn't do it. I don't know. I guess the question would be, should I have?
I don't know. Probably. But, but I was watching some Champions League football on television earlier, and they interviewed a player after the game, one of the guys from Aston Villa, who's actually from Colombia. And they did the interview en español. And so what I learned is that Thierry Henry speaks beautiful Spanish. Mm. And the broadcaster, who's the main host, or I guess they call them a presenter in England, what's her name? Kate Scott. She speaks great Spanish. But But Jamie Carragher and Micah, whatever his last name is, who used to play for Man City, they don't speak any Spanish. And they embarrass themselves up there. So yeah, you have a 50% chance, I guess, based on that.
There would have been some embarrassment. And I don't need to be doling out any embarrassment in the other direction. So I'll stand by the decision to let them have their post run of some length moment, pose with their medals by the gold statue wings, and not be like interrupted by some rowdy podcaster looking for content.
Yeah, you're not Thierry Henry. You have your own strengths that you can lean into. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that sounds lovely. That sounds really fun.
So that's my week in running.
Well, yeah, and maybe we'll go run the Mexico City Marathon sometime and try not to run off course. As how many marathoners ran off course, like 50,000 or something.
I forgot. I was in a city celebrated for its
most hilarious marathon mishap.
Most hilarious marathoning.
I'd love to run that. I bet it's
It's not as much a marathon as it is like, what are those like, the orienteering events?
Yeah.
It's like get from like this location yeah. to that one.
Get there.
You know, yeah, get there point to point. Like you can't use a car, but otherwise, like, you know, yeah, run.
I like that. Yeah.
Hop on the train.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever gets you there. Okay. Well, I don't have much to update. I'm still training for the New York Marathon. I got my biggest run coming up this Saturday. Going to do a 21 miler and then start cutting them back and getting them shorter until I finally get into the what's it called? What's the thing called? We don't run anymore.
Oh, the mashed potato phase.
Yeah, the mashed potato phase, the taper. So we'll save that for next week. Maybe I'll give an update on how my 21 went and what I'm thinking about. You know, my predictions for the New York Marathon next month.
I'm excited for that. And what is the date?
I think it's November 3rd.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll be training for, I have to quickly train in the next 4 weeks coming off a pretty cold couple weeks, for a backyard event, which maybe I could update on, next week as well.
Okay. That's awesome. I can't wait to talk about both events and our training, and until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Kernhout.
This is the power.